Hey, welcome to the podcast. This is Why We Create. Thanks for being here, everyone.
Why We Create is a podcast that explores the behind-the-scenes stories from artists, inventors, and the daringly creative.
Trojan Horse Was a Unicorn is not a siege on an ancient city in Turkey, but instead a creative festival in Portugal. Trojan Horse Was a Unicorn, or THU, hosts events all around the world for entry-level artists all the way to those senior designers. Today we are speaking with the founder of THU, Andre Luiz, and he tells us how THU stands apart from other creative events. Let's get into it. Welcome to Why We Create, the official Wacom podcast. It's a show where we sit down with some of your favorite artists and ask them how and why they do what they do. My name is Christopher, and I'm one of your hosts. Alongside me is the co-host, Megan.
Oh, hi. Oh, hi.
That's Megan.
That's me.
The big themes of the day are going to be art and community. So we thought we would talk to a person whose job is to bring creatives together. Today, we are speaking with Andre Luiz, the co-founder of the creative festival Trojan Horse Was a Unicorn. Andre, thanks for chatting with us today.
Thank you.
A pleasure and an honor. It's really happy to be here, to be honest. So thank you.
Yeah, we're big fans of THU. For those that don't know, Wacom loves a good creative festival, and Wacom loves THU. So
it's my oldest partner, Wacom, since the first edition.
I love that.
That's awesome. Why don't we always start with the question, who are you and what do you do, in your own words?
Yeah. Where to start? So I'm Portuguese. I'm always saying that is a blessing and a curse. I always study arts. My degree is industrial design. My master is marketing management. I have been following my dream based on my vision of helping the world and helping people, to be honest. And so I have three passions in my life, that is sports, culture, and education. And during my life, I had the chance to actually work in the three fields. I'm still the youngest manager in the Premier League of Portugal. I was super young, 24, 25, and I was like a director of a Premier League club.
Amazing.
And so during that year, it was only one year, I fall in love with the impact that sports clubs have in communities and society, and how they can actually help a lot of young kids to actually don't go to the wrong side, or helping them, to taking them to out from the wrong side. And it's a shame that it's an area that society don't understand, and a lot of people don't see it, especially in Europe, in Portugal, that to be more concrete, because I have more visibility in Portugal. The second thing was culture, where actually I helped the major place in Lisbon is a building that they host all the biggest events, cultural events and festivals in Portugal. So I helped them to understand how to help and how to integrate, and was pretty fantastic. And I was the co-founder of the first computer graphics school in Portugal in 2008.
Oh,
very cool.
And that allowed me to actually understand how corrupt is the education system and how terrible is the education system, comparing with football, for example, soccer. It's young kids, soccer, like the professionals are the education system. And it's like, for me, it was like, what the hell? I didn't understand this. Education should be something good for society. And now I'm dealing with all this mafia and system that doesn't allow. Mm-hmm. Well, and this is concluding who I am. So I am this person. So that actually has been following my career based on these values and vision, and enjoying every moment and losing a lot of opportunities. I went to bankruptcy twice when I was in my 20s. So I lost my hair in my 28, when I was 28. Literally, I lost my hair in a crisis of like, was problematic. But I've been enjoying my life in a way that I follow my heart and what I believe that is good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And by the age of 31, when I was in bankruptcy again, I lost my project, my school, for like, again, it's a hard story to tell. But I ended up to have an idea called Trojan Horse Was a Unicorn. And here I am talking with you guys 10 years later, 10 years later.
I love that.
Yeah, that's really interesting because like one of the questions I was going to ask you was going to be like, what prepared you for developing Trojan Horse was the Unicorn or THU, which I'll probably keep saying from here on.
THU.
THU. But why don't we give like real quick like a breakdown of what THU is for listeners that might not know.
So it's interesting because it's THU now is a global organization that is connected with 180 countries. And our mission is to empower the creative industries around the world. So that's what we do. Mm-hmm. An interesting thing is we started as an event in Portugal, the main event as we call it. Yeah. The main event is now, it's only happening every 2 years now. All the other major projects, it's 90% of what we do. But the interesting thing is everyone only perceives the main event, but it's something that we are changing.
Sure.
We are really bad in communication. But the reality is in the last 10 years, people don't understand this. We have been studying and understanding how can we have impact and we can actually, mm-hmm. what we need to do to actually accomplish what is becoming our mission to empower the digital entertainment industry and creators. Like, so this is two ways to explain. So when I was 21, 22, I got in touch with a project from UNESCO called Creative Cities, where they show that the only industry that can rebuild a system falling social and economic is the creative industries. So at the time, this was in my head. So because I was always suffering from what it still exists, like society, when you say that you are going to study art, society say that that is not a good thing. My father didn't talk with me for a long time when I told him that I was going to study art when I was 15. So, and still now, mm-hmm. this is happening all the time. I can give you like examples that is happening, like that is a problem. However, when I saw when my 21, 22, that UNESCO actually proved that this industry can actually change a society, this is a powerful industry, this became like, okay, empowers me to actually believe in myself. That was interesting for me at the time. So, but my life was not the way as I explained in the beginning, was not the way I expected. So after a while, the creative industries was out. And I start to do branding. I start to help my father. After that, I went to the football club. After that, I went to all the projects I actually explained to you. So I have spent 10 years trying to understand how to grow, how to survive. It's a miracle to be here talking with both of you. And at the same time, I can actually build a framework that allow me now to be in the right place to start helping more and more and more people to succeed in the creative industries. So that's THU now is a global organization with one mission, empower the creative industries around the world.
That's great.
I love that. So prior to working at Wacom, I worked at a creative college for like creative and commercial arts. Also as someone that went to school for fine arts and studio arts and art history, also hearing the like, well, what kind of a job are you going to get with that? Like, it's super frustrating. And it's so crazy to look at what we are surrounded with as a global society, how much is creative, visual arts, movies, film, media, social media, like everything is creative. So it's always baffles me still to hear people that don't understand the value of studying art or pursuing a creative career or just a creative passion. Like, we're surrounded by it every day. Like, none of these things would exist if people didn't continue to study it. So it's interesting. I used to pitch, we'd get a lot of students that wanted to do animation. All their parents here is they want to watch cartoons all day. That's like how the parents would convey this information. So we'd sit down, not to gender bias, but it was most often dads. And it's like, oh, what do you like? You football fan, you like NASCAR, whatever, these big sports fans. And it's like, cool, did you watch the Super Bowl? You do know that the majority of all of those commercials at the Super Bowl are all animated, right? Your child could make those beer cans that crash into each other. And they were like, oh my goodness. It was like these moments where you're like, oh man, you have no idea of the potential of your child. Like, if you just believe in them and let them study what they want to, maybe they'll do great things.
It's what I'm trying. What I'm trying to fight is how to actually bring to the mainstream the information that allow the creative industries to have respect. It's all about respect.
Yes,
and yes, 100%. I can tell you the last 10 years what I learned, and is so frustrating. I'm still fighting for that.
I do really appreciate that, like, you are trying to make change, and I feel like this is like a known fact, but a fact that we ignore, that like, if you really do want to make change, you have to, it's education. Like, that's where you start. That's the basis of it all. And it's also great to just have that foresight. Where does the name THU come from? Trojan Horse was a Unicorn.
I needed a stupid name, to be honest. Like, when I started, like, one of the things when I started is, because the creative industries is full of bullshit, and so everything is everything is corporate. everything is corporate by the book, and everything is VIPs, and everything is like, it is what it is. So when I decided to do this project, my main goal was, I need to do something that people ask what go with no expectations, or like, what the hell is this? And so I know the naming should be something like, this is not a festival. I never wanted to make a festival. I never wanted to do like things that is already happening from SIGGRAPH, from VIEW, from other events around the world. I wanted to do an experience. And I knew that at the time having the stupid name was important. So I talked with a friend of mine that she's a super, super creative copy. And after three rounds, she was already desperate because and the first round was like 600 names. I said, no, none of this. Second round, I said, no, none of this. And during the brainstorming the end of the second round, I said, no, this is nothing like this. Again, it's even hard when you are pitch. I want to do an event. At the time, it was an event. So there is not a global organization. Right. So I, at some point, I told to my colleague, do something stupid like unicorns, because I hate unicorns. So she ended up, Trojan Horse was a unicorn. Like, the name is really big. And I remember, like, he made like 8 names or 10 names. And I said, this, I immediately register everything. I was like, spend 10 minutes. So the website should be trojanhorsewasunicorn.com, Trojan Unicorn, Trojan Horse Unicorn. Like, at some point, Trojan-unicorn.com.
Yeah.
Okay, but this is going to be problematic to explain. It's already problematic to explain Trojan Horse was a unicorn. And so for a long time, when we almost went to bankruptcy the first time in 2015, a lot of people told me that the problem was the name. I didn't get sponsors. I didn't get like people to go to the event because the name was so crazy. But today the name is our our biggest strength in a way. So
it's memorable. Which I really appreciate.
It's silly. I think it makes people think. So I feel like often we all know this, people dealing with brand and taglines and slogans and seeing this, you want something memorable, but it makes people question, and you're like, what the hell are they talking about? And then you start to make up your own story of like, what does Trojan Horse was a unicorn mean? And you start to think back. I don't know. It's like, I love that it has no definition.
It was the goal. Like,
but
it can be anything.
Yeah, but it forces people to think and now kind of make their own narrative of what the name is, which is a purely creative practice for people. So I'm like, keep going.
And
keep whatever you think it
and
means.
And that we succeed. Yeah. I have to tell you, like,
100%. 100%.
The problem was
100%.
Explaining, like, they
sure.
That was
sure.
The problem. It still are, because we are really bad on that.
How does THU kind of like separate itself? You talked about it being like a really an experience. How is it different?
So the way I always approach THU, and I don't want to be arrogant, but I know nowadays we are the frame, the inspiration for all these events. I know, because we know that we are the inspiration. We see changes. When I went to events, I realized that it's full of VIPs. For a young kid from Portugal with the card, where there was no industry, there is no interest. Events, it's just VIP stuff. It's just like, there is no opportunities for young kids. If you don't know anyone, people don't look to you. They don't care about you. And this is the reality still today. It's too much crowded. It's fast-paced. There is no connections. There is nothing. So when I decided to do my event, was like, okay, now I'm doomed because I'm running out of money. Actually, at the time, I was no money. I don't know what to do because I travel. I try to sell. We have a showreel. We have the talents. We are competitive. There is no reason. So I ended up doing, okay, let's do an event where there are no VIPs. And the reality is that there is no VIPs and should be out of everything, is a trap, should be outside the city, isolated. Mm-hmm. So people will stay together for 3 days, 4 days, and it is what it is.
Oh, I like that. Yeah, that's
and
cool.
So everything we do at THU is about the trap. So I always choose locations that you see the videos are beautiful, but they are isolated from everything. We allow you to be like, you need to be there. And we offer a lot of alcohol, obviously. And we sell a lot of alcohol too. So basically, when I designed my events and the experience was, it's all about soulness, like all about how to make connections. It's not about selling tickets. It's not about selling nothing. It's about connections. It was really hard for me for a long time going to organizations, say, hey, give me $100K or give me $1, but your logo, I will decide where a logo will be. You are not able to sell nothing, but trust me, people will buy your stuff at the end. So this was like, what the hell?
Right.
Trojan Horse was a unicorn, a Portuguese that we don't know. And the guy is asking for money in an experience that it's completely opposite the kind of stuff we believe that is the ROI, ROI in a marketing perspective. The events, going back, what's the difference? The difference about me and all the other events, I focus in people. I focus in what they need and how to build like the right conditions for them to find their answers, and goes from finding an investor, finding a business partner, finding a mentor, finding the finding people that support them. That it's something that when you go to events and you guys go often to events, you go there, at some point it's done, you check, you just want to go home or to a bar. That's the thing. 99% of the time.
That's what people say. It's like when you go to one of these like creative conferences, what makes it cool is like going to the bar after and networking and talking to people. You guys push it that step further, which I think is like amazing. You're like finding a mentorship and you have like
as it's 24 hours nonstop, like for 5 days, six days. Yeah. It's
for 5 days.
It's a human behavior experience. Everything we do, it's a human behavior experience that my goal is how to unblock all the layers that we have in ourselves that doesn't allow us to actually connect. And that's the main reason that events fail, because they don't care about connect. Even the way they choose speakers, the way the talks are, we curate the talks. I understand. Mm-hmm. I choose exactly why this speaker goes at 9 a.m. and why this goes at 1 o'clock and why this goes at 3. And we curate everything because it's all about the balance of your energy. So everything we do, it's that's why, in a way, don't want to be arrogant. People love what we do. We never have the only people thinks complain is about the money, because we are more expensive than the others. We are. We are not. And we are losing money all the time. But it's the reality. It's true. We are more expensive than the others because things cost, imagine like from 9 a.m. until 3 a.m., we have a schedule completely curated from 9 a.m. until 3 a.m. That is, you don't have that in anywhere around the world.
No. I think what's often missed, I mean, and you hit on this perfectly, is conventions, conferences get people together and they're like, okay, go, do your thing. But as artists, as creatives, life gets in the way. We're distracted by stuff. There's social media, there's your phone, there's TV. I still have emails coming through while I'm at a conference that I'm supposed to be paying attention to, right? All of these different things, but that connection component is left up to the individual to make that connection, whereas THU, I love this curated schedule. I'm a very big fan of like, let us... You're a professional. Like, let me put this together in a way that is going to maximize the experience for you. And I think, like, that's what people pay for, to get, like, they know, just show up with, like, an open heart and an open mind and be ready. And it's important. I don't know. It's such a lovely...
But there is a lot of details. For example, the way I perceived it, at least the way I approach it, is we want... There's a lot of people. Why you don't have this guy? Why you don't have this girl? Why don't have... Because superstars. And the way we choose, it's about good people. So we also have a method to select everyone that goes to the stage. And so events, for a lot of people, events is a speaker, goes to the speaker, masterclass, workshop, keynote speaker, go and leave. For us, that is an important part, obviously, But the most important part is, imagine, you have all the speakers needs to stay at least 5 days in Troia, in the main event. So they can't leave. Mm-hmm. So they have to have breakfast with you, lunch with you, dinner with you. And we talk about Academy Award winners, Emmy Award winners, and they will be there with you 24 hours,
yeah.
5 days yeah. minimum. This is quite unique around the world.
It's bonding. It's a human bonding experience. I think of like when you go camping with friends, or if you're on, you know, you're just like with these people for this extended period of time with little outside distractions from you. But to be able to sit next to these superstars, or the, you know, these really inspirational people within the creative industry, it's that reminder that they're also just people.
THU, like I said, is a global organization that wants to empower creators. So in the last 10 years, we have been studying the problems of our industry. So we can talk about diversity and inclusion. I have so much to talk about the bullshit that is happening in our industry in terms of diversity and inclusion and the way I've been tackling and with proofs, with like things that can show the reality. And we can talk about what is the major problems. Like, there is a problem with young entrepreneurs. There's a problem with young creators. There's a problem like society mentality about studying art. So we have all these problems. I've been studying and understanding, okay, how can I tackle all these problems one by one? So at the end of today, THU, we have multiple projects to attack this problem. So for example, young entrepreneurs. I've been, since 2016, I had this idea. I need to build like a safe place for entrepreneurs. I tried to bring to the main event something called the B-sides, that actually like the business sides for like the creatives, like the artists, but the artists, they don't want to go to the B-sides talks. They want to go to the Ian McKeag talk. They want to go to Carl Ortiz. So I was like, fuck. So in the second edition, I changed the names of the talks and I built a Trojan horse for them. So they end up to be in the B-side without knowing. And I saw like, okay, these guys learn this. They love it. So, but was not exactly what I was looking for. So after this year, after so many years, I built a new project called THU Creator Circle that is a boot camp just for young entrepreneurs that happened in Barcelona 1 month ago and was the most mind-blowing stuff I did since the first edition of THU. The same thing with young entrepreneurs, with Sony, we build a project from the scratch called Sony Talent League that is becoming the biggest project to find young entrepreneurs around the world, where the winner in the last edition was a team from Ivory Coast. When we are now changing Abidjan, and that we are completely changing the ecosystem in Abidjan because of Talent League. And it's pretty incredible. And the funny thing was, Korea Camp becomes the most impactful project at THU because it's the project that are the people that can travel. And so now we are, every career camp, we are doing two career camps every year because we can help 3,000 people online. And the reason we are doing two career camps are because we start studying them. And after each career camp, after a while, they go drop. They're like their ambitions, their energy, because they know I only have now, I need to wait 1 year to show my results and I need more help here. So we are doing two career camps. So these guys can actually have 6 months milestone and here, so we can actually accelerate and give them pressure to actually go to the next level. But going back, like, so we are building projects, and Career Camp is for young kids, juniors. It's helping the ones that can travel. So as you can see, Chris, we have projects to tackle almost all the areas nowadays. So to actually solve problems that our society faces. And Career Camp is becoming, for example, the most complex project, because every Career Camp, we see our project as products, not events. So every time we do an event, it's a product. We do, okay, now let's do the version 2.0. Now let's go for 3.0. For the main event, we are doing the 10.0 next year. So it's like 10 years developing what is new. And as you can see, the 10.0 is like, okay, realize now it's just focusing seniors. Career Camp is going for the version 4. And is mind-blowing.
I'm going to jump forward to this question real fast, Christopher, because I feel like this is good. Talking about every year how THU, you're like, level up. Okay, great. And we're going to do version 2.0. We've done this. Perfect. Great. What's next? What's more? How can we reach more people? How can we impact more people? as someone that has worked in corporate America for a long time, how do you measure success? Like when you're looking at, when you complete an event, when you complete the career camps or the main, whichever it is, like what, without getting into like the metrics, I think there's a lot of BS within some of those of like, what are your KPIs? Like who cares? But yeah, what are those things that you look for that you're like, this was super successful?
That's a good question, because for me, success is one thing. For the rest of the world, success is money.
Sure. Okay? 100%.
So now I have to say success is to make sure that by the end of each event, I'm not in the bankruptcy. So this is the number one success, is at least I survive. Yeah. The second success for me is how many people we help, how many jobs we create, mm-hmm. how many people we actually help to move forward, and we tackle almost all of that. I'm never happy, and this is true. Like for me, every time you make a mistake, I see that we are losing something, because even if you help a lot of people, we know that to actually change someone's lives, there is a lot of details that we need to accomplish. And if we failed one specific accomplish, is butterfly effect, in my opinion, we can actually destroy all the work we are doing. But success for me is obviously seeing, because of you, because of THU, I now understand what to do. I have now, and we see a lot of success stories at THU, even from a career perspective, but also like people that were afraid to show themselves, like to reveal they are gays, they are trans, they everything that you, like being honest with themselves, being like completely transparent, like having a place where they don't need to actually be other person. And that's for me success is building an environment where people can actually talk and actually understand the games, the rules of the games, and enjoy to play the rules of the game. So everything that we do goes in that direction. Success is about that. And then it's pretty complicated, because I don't see numbers, I see faces. Mm-hmm. And I struggle, but now I'm a bit older and I'm not so good as I used to do. But I used to know every name, first and second name of each people that goes to the main event. So I try to memorize 700 names every year to understand who are this person, so they can actually see that they are not just someone that pay a ticket. And even at the main event, it's often to see me shouting them like, what the fuck are you doing outside? There is a talk here. There is a talk. Go out. You don't pay a ticket to drink. You pay a drink and to learn. So there is drink hours.
Oh,
so we do that because we know that. One thing that is also something that is interesting is people don't prepare for events. So part of the problem that you don't succeed in events is because you don't prepare. You just go and you need preparation. So and so what we do, we know that they are not prepared. That's why we only reveal the schedule 2 days before the event. So
how interesting.
So because they will be confused, and that is something good. So during the first 2 days, we develop like a tribe building way to develop them to start preparing the schedule that starts 2 days later. So this is also interesting. So success for me is all these details that by the end of the day, I help them to actually go to the right directions, to find the answers that for some reason we never study events. For us, events is not, it just go and enjoy the flow. And this is not correct. So success is that. So sorry.
Success is always so coded with corporate like bullshit lingo that you're like, because we've been told that success is one thing, and it's really
well, but it's true that you need to pay the bills, and I'm often to bankruptcy.
You have to pay the bills.
Very fact.
I just lost a bunch of money in Creator Circle because companies didn't realize what I'm doing. Even the community didn't realize what I'm doing. So it was like a madness. But now we did it. We prove a point, and now we are going in a different direction. But why we need to suffer every time you innovate? That's my million-dollar question.
Yeah,
that's a good one.
Well, like just going back to what you said at the beginning, you know, that you are laying the foundation for like the future. We have to educate people, and you have to like, just get that strong foundation of like, this is what the industry is like. This is how you get jobs, and this is how to make the industries better. But like, that's hard to quantify at times. It's hard to be like, here's like the real numbers that we're putting out. But it's just the work that needs to be done. And I just really felt for what you said, like at the beginning of your last answer of, did I survive? Because like at the here at Wacom, Megan and I, we run a lot of events and we come out the other side and we're like, did we survive?
We're here.
Yeah, it is something we have to ask ourselves at the end of each event. And, you know, how do we make it better? This might be a good spot right here. Why don't we take a quick break?
Perfect.
And we'll be back. This podcast is brought to you by the team at the Wacom Experience in Portland, Oregon. The Wacom Experience is equal parts showroom, creative space, and classroom. We're open to the public and are a great place to hang out, get some work done, or take your creativity to the next level. To stay up to date on what's happening at the Wacom Experience PDX, along with information on upcoming events and workshops, make sure to follow us on social media. Our link in bio can be found in the show notes. The Wacom Experience PDX is located at 1455 Northwest Irving Street in Portland, Oregon. If you're in the area, stop by and say hi.
We're back with Andre from THU. The key of THU is the people. And it's not just the people that attend and experience THU and make it better every year, but there's people behind it. And that is a good lead into your question.
Okay, I thought you were just going to do it. You were doing great, Megan.
So I was just going to lead you in and then hand it off.
You did.
It's teamwork. So
the people who help run THU, who are these people and why are they called knights?
Yes.
At the main event, they are knights. At in Japan, they are senseis. And in Barcelona, they are masters. So everything is about storytelling and give the proper, like, everything we do, each event has a story behind it, has a team behind it. And we always try to give the proper importance to the people that attend. The team behind THU is my team. So I have my team, and I have lucky enough to have all these knights, all these masters, and all these senseis that are high level, or people that I believe they are in a level that can actually teach. That also is the most complicated part, in my opinion, is having this decision, deciding who are able to teach and who are not able to teach. It's a real struggle. We receive a lot of approach for people saying, hey, I would love to be a speaker at THU. I want to speak at THU. And how to say no to someone that is approaching you, offering you a knowledge from their perspective, and you have to say no. So this is like being a knight at THU. Everyone that goes to THU, after they arrive and they experience, they know, like we have been talking here, the responsibility. And responsibility is, you are here because you achieve a certain point in your career that I want you to give back. So that's why being a knight, I always, like I mentioned during this conversation, I always try to choose more than the awards they won. It's if they are good people or not. Because by the end of the day, what I want is like starting a process of giving back. And that's the thing. So the knights are incredible people that I've been lucky enough to convince to teach you. And it's a process. It's itself like a couple minutes conversation about the process of selecting a knight. But these are the people, like around 10 years now, we have a huge networking of important knights that help us to be what we are without them spending their times, because they take 1 week off without being paid. To spend hours and hours helping someone. And this is just the beginning, because during the year, and now this is something that we are launching our platform by November that allow us to be the connecting point 365 days, where you can actually talk with all the knights and everyone can talk in one place. And they will be there, because the most important thing is time, and there is never time to anyone. And I know this. Because when I ask someone that doesn't know me, do you have five minutes for me? I can guarantee Chris, they say no. So imagine a young kid, and I'm 42, and I built THU, and I think I did something that people can actually understand who I am nowadays, but I'm still like a nobody. So imagine like a young kid that is never doing nothing. I'm looking for some information. I'm just like, they just went 10 minutes, like they don't even have nothing, not even an answer. So the knights behind THU are good people that I'm lucky to convince them to go to THU, and I'm lucky enough to, I'm humble to actually see what they do after they understand mm-hmm. THU, how much they help us to build a better world. Mm-hmm. That's for sure.
And there's some really talented people in there. If you go to the website, you can see like who all these knights are mm-hmm. and click on their profiles and go to their websites, and it's a cool roster. And it's, if you want to fill your Instagram feed with just like some really cool artists, it's a great way to do it.
It's always like that. There is something happen in the main event, part of the industry will shut down immediately, because normally like are like the key people from Doug Xiang, from Peter Ramsey, from Kevin Bailey, from Carl Ortiz, from Vicky Dobbsbeck, all the big names in the industry. Like, I'm really lucky. I'm really, really lucky. I know that.
Yeah.
I know. That is the, I don't even know what I did to actually have this, but this is like the part that I say, what the hell? It's a bless and a curse. The bless is I need to deal with THU and all the struggles that I've been telling you and fighting against the big corporations and mentalities. But the blessing is actually have the chance to know these people, to work with these people, and see how powerful their knowledge and the way they approach is life changing. So that is really interesting.
Yeah, it's one of the things that, so we've been doing the podcast. This is our third season now. We started in 2020 when we shut down for COVID, because we were also looking for ways, you know, like what do we do when we're not able to actually physically and in person interact with our community and do things that inspire them? We're like, like, what do we do? Everyone's at home. Just get them on a call and we'll have good conversations. But so there's a lot of common themes and topics and things that come up from episode to episode. And this season, we've actually had a lot, shout out to gallery owners. There's been a lot of conversations about that one key mentor or that one person in a creative's life that was like, oh, you, this is great. Come and do this, or you should do this. And so I feel like, because as creatives, oftentimes there are that one person that introduced you to a new concept, introduced you to a person, got you a gallery show, whatever it is, was like, not a gatekeeper, but the person that like let you into this space or introduced you to a new space. We all have these super important mentors that I feel like it's probably not too hard of a sell to get a creative to be like, you are important. You're an important person in this creative industry. Come help me usher in this next generation, or like get this next generation of creatives up to where you are. I think it's such a good opportunity, I think, to give back. And I feel that also fuels the community of like, when you feel that your words and your experience can be inspirational to the next person, it's such a good feeling that there probably needs to be more of it. But
I understand why people say no, to be honest. One of the reasons is there's a lot of bad stuff happening and they experience. And so when you go to a place mm-hmm. and you experience something bad, and this is one of the things THU has been trying, and Chris mentioned that, to changing mentalities. It's my biggest fight is how to explain that we are different. And what is different? Because everybody mm-hmm. uses the same keywords. Even now, unicorns is a keyword. Community is a trend, is a keyword, like, mm-hmm. is a buzzword. All the
Right.
Yeah.
So we are the biggest event. We are the biggest for creators. And I know events mm-hmm. that use, I will be the next THU. We know this. So, for example, mm-hmm. so a lot of people, they go to events and they don't help events because of previous and continued to bad experience that it's happening. And this is something that it's pretty common in our industry. And I have a lot of bad stories about this. And even I know that people go to events and say, hey, this is not like THU because they did this and this. And simple things, just like saying hello, like thank you for being here. Like, so, you know, like, I know that you are spending your 2-3 days. And people don't respect the times. My struggle every year is how to go to someone that say no to me, and I believe that is important. So, and every year I unblock. I've been inviting people for 10 years in a row and receiving no. I have a list of people I invite every year. So mm-hmm. I have stories like I spent 4 years, I spent 5 years, I spent 6 years, I spent 7 years, I spent 8 years. They say no until I convince them. I'm in the break. I'm out. I think I will have 99% sure that one guy that I've been trying to bring to THU and said no since 2013 is going to say yes for the 10 edition. And I was get like, him. What the? So this is,
get him.
And this is the thing, like, this is, you mentioned really well, this is so important to have someone that can actually unblock you, that someone that can actually change your life. And a lot of people say no. Why? Because they know that in a lot of events, a lot of places is not events. Nobody cares. And that's the reality. It's like sponsors, show off, that's right. We're there. Mm-hmm. This is true. This is like the dark side of the industry that people don't want to talk. But this is the problem that people need to be aware of this. So when they select, I know a lot of young kids, for example, they don't have money to go to THU, for example. Let's give me an example. I have several things. Like, because THU, the ticket, the average price is 500, even if it's for 5 days, 12 hours a day, will cost €3 per hour, okay? Something like that. So it's not expensive, but 500 is a lot for long kids, okay? And there is two types of people. Yeah. There is like a girl from Iran. She really wanted to go to THU, so she saved for 2 years to be there. Or people that approach us and say, I really need to do this. I can't go. Can I pay in 12 months? And I said, yes, you can pay in 12 months. And we do that, okay? But there are people, others, they just see the price. And the majority of these young kids, especially artists, as you know, because you study, they don't teach nothing about business, okay? They just tell you that you want everything for free, but you don't want to pay nothing. So that's what they teach in the art school, more or less. Okay. So this is an example that there is a lot of events around the world and people say, oh, I can't go to THU. Where should I go? Let's go to this event. And I see this often and often that after they go to this event where they spend only 250 off, they say, this is bullshit. I lost my money. I didn't learn nothing. They don't even see the difference. Like one event is 5 days, 6 days. The other event is 3 days. One event you stay together for 24 hours. The other event you just go and leave. So what they don't even understand the DNA of each event. So this is something that destroy people. So the events are so important in society. It's what I learned when I was doing my 1 year in that place in Lisbon. Was events are really important in society. Are really important to shape mentalities and to help to open doors, like you said. The majority of events, they don't care about people. It's about the KPIs of bringing more people there and selling sponsors.
Right.
And events, instead of helping, they destroy. And because they destroy, people were able to actually share knowledge, they stop going because it's a waste of time for them.
Yeah.
And so this is
that's like why we were saying earlier, it's like what the most important part is the bar afterwards. And that shouldn't be the most important part, you know, that shouldn't be the key takeaway.
This is a bad part of the conversation. So sorry, because I went too dark, but it's actually like something that's I'm always trying to explain to everyone around the world, like ask these questions. Like I want more and more events to actually be successful because we can't go anywhere. And I hate doing events. It's something that I do is hating doing events. It's terrible. It's a curse and a blessing once again. I hate doing this.
Yeah, totally. It's hard.
It's the conduit of like first place of getting people together, right? I think it's tough too. And if you've gone to a convention, if you've gone to a large conference or a festival, and if you had a bad experience, it really does spoil you on everything else. And then it becomes, rather than the experience, if you have a bad experience at one, then the next one just becomes a matter of dollars and time.
It's toxic. And it's super toxic.
It's super toxic. But I do think like it's not the most fun part of the conversation, but I think it's super necessary, because how do you get people out of this cycle? What do people need to know to realize like you're going to get something really amazing out of this? And I think this might actually lead into, Christopher, your conversation or your question about all the videos and stuff. So
I was curious about this.
THU does is, I think, how do you explain, first off, how do you explain to people what THU is? And let them make up stories about what the title means, right? But how do you explain in a format in a way, like, how do you explain what you're going to experience? And I think social media is, as much as it's super toxic, is a good tool, but then also videos and YouTube. So maybe talk a little bit. I know, Christopher, you watched a bunch of these videos. I think you got sucked into the greatness that is the Netflix series.
Yeah. So, well, if you look up videos of, like, other creative events, anything that Adobe puts on, SIGGRAPH, mm-hmm. and all of this, you get videos of the talks. You get videos of the actual events.
The straightforward, yeah.
But, like, pulling up the YouTube page of THU, you don't find a lot of that. You find, like, these really well-produced videos of, like, sketchbook tours, which, yes, that's the rabbit hole I went down. and, like, interviews with artists, like, these real talks. And, yeah, then there was, like, this Netflix, like, short film type of a thing. And, yeah, I was just wondering, could you talk a little bit about the production behind the THU videos and, like, why you guys go down this path instead?
Hi. So it's a complicated story. So it's all about showing an experience. And like you mentioned, like, it's really hard to explain Meg and THU. So I always knew that how to explain something that succeeds because of 24 hours. You can't put in a video 24 hours. And and I never wanted to be perceived as a place for speakers. I wanted to be perceived in a different way. So my vision was always going in a direction to build something different. Let's say use the word different. By 2015, we start to sold out. So, and I'm against overflow. Because I'm against overflow, I needed to find a way to actually continue to have people going to THU and seeing THU. So we start doing the THU TV. But during THU TV, we start, okay, let's do THU TV recording the talks, but I don't want it to do just one cam, so let's do multicam. So that's another thing, more expenses. At the time, there was no one doing multicam in 2015. But at the same time, I said to myself, it's not worth it, people to pay just talks. It's not worth it. They need something else. So let's build original content, like at the time there was like Netflix, and let's start that. We built 9 originals, only sketchbooks survive until now, okay? And we discover a way to actually tell stories in a different way, and we are still developing the new IPs for us. And the Netflix was something that we have been talking with Netflix, and they ask us, how can we actually do something different? I said, hey, we are doing the new Voices project for 2017. We never promote the new Voices because we never wanted to use new Voices as you know, diversity and inclusion is a really marketing stuff to actually, hey, we are really good people. So, but let's do talks.
Right.
And I never wanted to do, I never, and I will not do panels about new voices and diversity and inclusion. It's enough talking. Let's act. So when Netflix came to me about this, is about, okay, we have the chance, instead of THU talk, with having the Netflix voice, we can actually approach more and more people to actually explain what we are doing and the learnings from what we are doing, so maybe others can actually learn with us. So we came up with the docuseries stuff. Video is always fundamental, the main media that we used. It's the fun part of THU. It's where I spend my kids' money for the university. They will never go to university because the money we spend on the videos. But we also record the talks, but we stop recording the talks because we realize that the speakers, the nights, will not speak in the same way. And I want everyone to be free to speak the way they want it. So we stop recording the talks. Right. So if you can't record the talks and we want to use this opportunity to collect knowledge that we can share for the ones that can't go, how can we do it? And that's why we start doing, okay, let's do it originals. Let's try to approach this in a way that is more meaningful, more interesting for people to watch. And that's the reason behind all the crazy stuff we do with video. And we are still learning. We never succeed. It's not a project that we say, yes, we know how to do it. After 10 years, we have a lot of fun. We have a lot of cool stuff. But we are still understanding how to actually...
There's some cool stuff.
It is. We care a lot. We spend hours... Still now, we are working for the videos for 2024. We didn't start the event, but we start collecting up the videos ideas. So let you know.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy.
I can only imagine the difficulty of, like, how are you crafting this narrative to be authentic to people's experience without losing too much of that experience? Because once, I don't know, video format is it's tricky to capture recaps and really hold on to the essence of that experience without diluting it or losing it or having it be perceived in a different way. But it's still a powerful tool. But I feel like that's in addition to putting on a huge convention, that's a whole other struggle and set of considerations.
We always have two types of videos. One is the recap. And it's funny, but every people that never go to THU, when they see recap video, they see this is Burning Man meets TED. They don't understand what the fuck is this. It's all like, what the hell? What the hell? And the other thing is like the on-demand content that we try to record. And the most difficult part is if you are a previous night or you went to previous THU, people will say, yes, I'm willing to watch. We can actually prepare the scripts and that we can actually do the pre-production properly. The problem is the new people. And what we know is after 2 days, they will say yes. So we need to prepare for this. So a lot of like the new people, a majority say, no, I'm not comfortable to be on a video. I'm not comfortable to record this. And what are the rights? And are you going to make money? And then I say, no, this is for this. This is for this. But again, because previous experience are bad, they are always like struggle with this. So for us, the most difficult part is the pre-production of everything we do, that people don't understand that everything we do we do during the events. We don't do nothing outside events because we don't have the resources to actually do it. Our organization is like a guerrilla organization. People don't understand this, but we are super guerrilla. So we don't have money. We don't have time. So we just use the tools we have in our hands during the events. So everything we do is going in that, okay, what opportunities do we have here to record? So a lot of things we improvise, to be honest.
But I think that works. I don't know. If I'm like trying to get a general idea of like what THU is, I could just watch these like talks, these events, these recaps of like what actually went on, like a security camera almost type of a thing of like what it actually is. But like with all these collections of videos, I get more of a sense of like the vibe, the energy that THU puts out. There's an intimacy to a lot of the videos that I really appreciate. Like, I did go down like the rabbit hole of like the sketchbook tours and like just seeing so many of the artists, they didn't always talk about like THU and, you know, what was happening there. They're just giving a sense of like, this is my art. This is why I create it. And this is... Yeah, it's really nice, and that makes me want to like dig further into like it's almost like this is like the heart of it.
Thank you.
It's come to THU and to get more.
It's the first time people ask me about the videos since I started THU. So thank you for this opportunity, actually. So thank you.
Yeah, no, man. I watched the one with Carl Kapinski, and like, oh my god, I've always loved his work, and. Just watching him draw and like watching him go through his sketchbooks, I was like, I like him even more. He's such a cool guy. I really like those videos, and they're long form, which is hard to come by nowadays, but like they're so nice.
Yes,
so nice.
And was a struggle in the beginning. Now we reach out to 100,000 subscribers. What is a huge milestone for us. We started this 10 years ago, and it's true because long term. But again, like the sketchbook show, for example, was, and now is super common, but 5 years ago, 6 years ago, even 7 years ago, like I wanted to make something that explained, and still today is related everything we do, even for Japan. Japan is a storytelling bootcamp. And the main thing for me is I want you to explain how you do you think. Because it's something that is not anywhere. Yeah. And so even today, I would just want you, how do you think? I don't want you to do the making of any project. I don't want you to explain any tool. I just want how your brain works. And for the sketchbook was about that. I wanted a place where you can actually collect, if they allow me, how your brain works. How you actually, who are you? But it's true. The videos are a huge part of THU. It's still something that even if you lose money all the time and is... We don't have like someone full time on the video. Is all the team joining forces?
Sure.
Like in a side time we have to actually do the video thing because we love and we know that is the it's really important for the community. So we do it a lot because of them.
Yeah.
That is crazy. It's crazy, this operation.
Yeah.
So that's why I say thank you. People don't realize how crazy it is.
Of course.
So we talked a lot about, like, THU is obviously very big and it's like ever expanding. You guys are going to do your first event in Japan soon.
Next month.
Oh my gosh. So there's a lot going on. What is the hardest part about your job and what's the most rewarding?
Ooh, yeah.
The hardest part is dealing with the financial side of THU. It's definitely the hardest part because we are sponsorship based and ticket based, which is not a business. We've been trying to actually understand how to make sustainable so we can help more people. So the hardest part of my job is how to actually continue to do the projects that we need to do it to actually succeed in our mission to empower the creative industries, continue with the quality we believe that is needed to go to do it without losing money or being sustainable. So it's the hardest part is... It's not people see us as a super rich organization. If I was only doing the main event, to be honest, I will be now at this point healthy in a way because it's an event that we sell out the tickets. We have people sponsoring us, and I could do it an event with a small team. But what we are doing in the last 3-4 years is developing, and we are investing a lot in technology to actually develop tools that allows. As to help more and more the community, especially the ones that can travel. That's the number one thing. The most fun part of THU and rewarding, it's definitely the feedback when we help someone. It's what all my team, when we are dying, tired, done of all the things, because we have to, doing what we do in the industry we are doing, imagine like this, for example, Adobe. We never had any support for Adobe. And even if you are helping more people around the world than any organization in terms of creative industries, because we are, when you go to Adobe or Autodesk, they say, no, we don't have the budget and they don't care. And say, hey, this is scholarships. Oh, this is dealing like, let's work. I don't want sponsorship. I want to do what you are doing as related. But for this tackle of people that actually, for example, the new generation of entrepreneurs are the one that actually will buy computers, that will use software, that will buy Wacom, that we need to tackle in that direction. And we are doing something that no one else is doing around the world. So imagine like the mountains to explain the obvious and say, hey, we can actually, this is not even for... So this is like the struggles that me and my team every day, sometimes you have to say no to 10 young kids from... Nigeria, Ghana, or even Portugal or Spain, like some really crazy talents because there was not enough power, financial power, because the organization don't care. Again, goes to explaining what are the creative industries for non-creators is super complicated. And when you don't even have the people in our industry helping you, is like mind-blowing. So the last 3 years has been like a roller coaster because I said, I need to crack this. I need to go and try to convince organizations like MasterCard to convince. It took me 5 years to convince MasterCard, by the way, to convince MasterCard to actually go this. So the dark side is this. But like I was mentioned, everything makes sense when you see that you are helping someone. And that is the beauty in a way that is doing events is because you have direct impact and you can see directly that you are changing someone's life. And that's what makes worth it all the work we do as a team, as an organization, and all the suffering and all the struggles and all the fights and everything that we had to do to be successful in our mission. But helping and see that specific, for example, creator circle that happened 1 month ago, we got the boost of energy for a long time. We literally changed and we are still receiving emails and message from people that we change and literally change. It's not just, we are literally changing lives, building jobs, like people that were like in a bad situation. Now they know what to do it. So they are being, they are being completely approaching life in a different way. This is mind blowing. And this makes worth it all the suffering, to be honest.
That's awesome. That makes a lot of sense. I feel like you've been saying this the whole time, but we ask everyone at the end of the podcast is the question of like the name of our podcast is Why Do You Create? And yeah, so that is the last and final question is like, why do you create?
To I really want to help people, and I'm happy to help people. So at the end of the day, I'm selfish because when I feel happy is because I'm helping. So I'm selfish because I'm doing something I like. The way I create the community wise, it's the way I see that I can actually help more. That's the thing. I will make a change, or I create doing this. It helps to have more impact in people's life. And that's it. I create because this is a terrible question to say immediately in this way, for God's sake. It's true. Why I create? Because the things I wanted to do, nobody was doing. And so no one was doing, and I was seeing things that I didn't like it. So instead of complaining, I decided to do it. I ended up building THU. Trojan Horse was a unicorn. I never expected to do THU. I never expected to be here talking with you guys. And I never expecting to be known by doing a building communities or organizing events, because literally it's the worst job in the world. Organizing events, it's the worst job in the world. And I don't even understand why there are people enjoying doing events.
People like it.
They're wild. I don't get
it. Well, because maybe they don't pay the bill. If they pay the bill, they will hate it to do. Maybe they are not behind the mat because organizing an event, it's the mat behind an event. It's
it's
a nightmare. And I respect a lot people that continue to do events for 20 years in a row and they're still doing it. And I respect them, even if I don't understand them. But that's why I create. I create because the things I wanted to do, people were not doing, or I start to see problems and nobody was tackling them. And so I decided to actually do it. And I always loved the creative industries, but the creative industries is a dark place by the end of the day. And then I want to build should be like a happy place. So I'm trying to build an happy place for the creative industries and trying one day to change the big monsters to approach the creative industries in a safe, in a healthy way.
You have this like amazing resource. And I really appreciate like the backbone of THU and like why it exists is to better society, to educate people that, you know, the art culture, the art system essentially is a great place, and it can be an amazing place, and it can be a place where you can really thrive as a person, not just survive, but like really thrive and have money, support yourself, support a family, and it's just educating people that this could be an amazing culture, and that's great. And I really appreciate the work that you're putting in for this. And I like that that's the backbone of this event. And I appreciate how intimate it is. Like 700 people for a creative conference can be actually kind of small. I mean, as far as like creative conferences go, and the fact that like it's like this many people in a space that's remote, super appealing. That's so cool. It's just brilliant, and it makes a lot of sense. And so I appreciate the work that you're
doing.
Thank
you. But remember, we are not just one event. We are like multiple. The main event is only every 2 years now. Because it's crazy. It was killing me.
Yeah.
But that is true. Thank you. Thank you so much. And it was a pleasure to actually talk with both of you.
People want to know more about all of the events that you're doing, and because I know you have like a new event coming up next month, but so how do people find out?
Our website or social media. And again, I have to thank you guys, and welcome to support us since the beginning. It's true. It started with just two tablets alone. from a guy that was managing Spain and Portugal. And we grow, and you guys became the best friends of THU. And even now, with understanding more the behind the scenes with the president of Wacom, with Nobu-san, and understanding that you guys are about community more, that even you guys are really bad on that too, because a lot of people don't understand how deep you guys are to create and nurturing a community. A lot of people don't perceive that. I know a bit the behind the scenes now and how crazy the work you guys are doing, and what is like inspiring me, to be honest. More and more, and again, like, there is some noise in our industry that when organizations like Wacom is doing something, a lot of cool stuff, it's not perceived in the right way sometimes. Mm-hmm. They don't understand the dimension of the vision, of the goal to actually help. And so thank you. Yeah. Thank you also for being that organization and to believe in THU since the day one. That's amazing.
Yeah. I think it's a lot of seeing and recognizing people out there that have a mission that's aligned with yours, whether it's an organization or whether you're just an individual, and then doing what you can to help actually make a difference. I think it's just, again, we could talk about it all till we were blue in the face, but it's about being actionable on those ideas. So thank you for helping make everything better.
Aye, aye, aye.
One step at a time. We'll get there.
One step at a time. Thank you. Thank you. Really, thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. So thank you. Yeah, thank you. Absolutely.
Thank you so much for listening to our show. Why We Create is produced by the Wacom Experience Center in Portland, Oregon. I do the editing, Megan writes our show notes, and our music is produced by Forest Pond. If you would like more creative content, you can follow us on all the social media platforms. We also have a Discord channel where you can get insider info into the podcast, share your artwork, and stay up to date on everything we are doing. Thanks again for listening, and we will see you next time.